for leading us in worship and praise. You know, the Bible says, give honor where honor is due, and tomorrow is Veterans Day, and I can't think of any group of people that deserve more honor than those that served in our military to protect us, provide for our safety. So if you served in the military of any kind, Army, Navy, whatever, Coast Guard, National Guard, whatever it is, would you stand? We want to honor you right now. Come on. Can we just give them a hand this morning? We are deeply grateful for your service. And by the way, there is a Veterans Day parade tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then we have something a little interesting. About 10:45, I was reading that we're going to have two F-15 fighter jets fly over the downtown area and then over the veterans home over there about 10:45. So, you know, if you want to get your eardrums rattled, be down there and watch that. So, you know, that's probably going to be kind of cool. But it's all in honor of the veterans. And again, we are very grateful to you. So, Pastor Brett, he's got a little humor this morning that goes along with my message. So,
okay. So maybe you've heard about the guy named Wally. And Wally's friends gave him the nickname Wally the Worrywart, because Wally constantly was stressed and anxious about everything. And they told him, Wally, you know, listen, you have got to learn how to deal with your fear and anxiety, or you're going to die young. And Wally said, I know, I'm worried about that. So one day, Wally and his friends met for coffee. Wally walks into the coffee shop, and they don't even recognize him. His face is calm and peaceful, and they're just, Wally, is that you? You're not worried? I mean, you seem calm and at peace. He says, well, I've discovered the secret to peaceful, tranquil living. I don't worry anymore because I've hired someone to do my worrying for me. You hired somebody? Yeah, I hired somebody. I pay this guy $2,000 a week to do my worrying for me. And they're like, Wally, that's ridiculous. You don't have $2,000 a week to pay that guy? He said, yeah, well, that's his worry.
Well, along those lines, I want to talk about finding peace in troubled times. Who could use a little bit more peace today? There's a lot of unrest in the world today. There's a lot of craziness going on. There's wars everywhere. There's rumors of wars, and that can certainly steal our peace. But maybe you're more concerned about the wars or the unrest that's going on under your roof. Maybe there's all kinds of chaos and turmoil that's going on under your roof. Maybe it feels like your life is falling apart. You're stressed at work. Your marriage is really not doing too well, and your finances are stretched. Your kids are running wild. And so all these circumstances have created this whirlwind of anxiety and turmoil on the inside of you, and it has stolen your peace. Now, I've got some good news for you today. Jesus came to give you peace in the middle of your storm. Whatever that storm is, Jesus made a promise to his disciples 2,000 years ago, and that promise still applies to us today, to every Christ follower. He said this in John 14:27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. When he told his disciples, my peace I give to you, that was good news in their ears. You know why? Because they had been with him for 3.5 years. They'd walked with him, ministered with him, eaten with him, lived with him. They had observed Jesus in every kind of circumstance. Jesus had endured all kinds of pressures and accusations and criticism, probably more pressure than any human being ever has, but they never saw him have an anxious day or even an anxious moment. He was never worried. Jesus wasn't turning the water into wine so he could have a few drinks at the end of the day and calm himself. He just he just was peaceful all the time. There's an inner tranquility and a calm and assurance that he just lived with. And so when Jesus told them, hey, the peace that I have, my peace, I'm going to give to you, that was really good news. And it should be good news to us today too, because he's promising that same thing for us. He said, I don't give to you as the world gives. What kind of peace can the world offer you? Not much, right? I mean, the only kind of peace maybe they can give you is peace you can find in a bottle at the liquor store, or peace that you can find in some kind of a drug. Here, take this and numb your mind. Drink this and check out of reality for a while. But the problem with that is you can check out of reality for a while, but you wake up the next morning, your problems are still there, and now you got a hangover on top of it. You know, I'm just amazed at the number of people. Really, there's people all over the world that are looking for peace, and they simply can't find it. And it doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much fame you have. I'm always amazed at how many successful, well-known, famous people take their life. I've known of many over the years. I'm thinking right now of Robin Williams. Remember Robin Williams, the actor, the comedian? He took his life at the age of 63. His net worth when he died was $50 million. How many think you could live on $50 million? I mean, you could just live on the interest alone, and you wouldn't have to even touch that. I mean, he had more fame than probably most people, but yet he must have been missing the one thing that money and fame could not buy, and that was an inner sense of peace and tranquility. John 16:33, Jesus tells us how to get peace. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. Where can you find peace? In Christ. That's really the only place, in relationship with him. When you open your heart to Jesus Christ, you have opened yourself to the Prince of Peace, the one who can absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, give you peace at all times in any circumstance that you're going through. And if you're going to experience a deep and abiding, everlasting peace, you're going to have to get it in relationship with Jesus, right? No pill or bottle is going to produce it. No human relationship can provide it. No amount of success can sustain it. It only comes in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Now, the Bible actually talks about two kinds of peace. First of all, it talks about peace with God. And that peace can only be had when you know that your sins are forgiven and you are in right relationship with God. You've accepted and believed in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the atonement for your sins. And when you do that, then you can have peace with God. The other kind of peace that you can have is the peace of God. That is that inner assurance, tranquility, calmness that comes from knowing God can handle your circumstances no matter what they are, knowing that God's big enough to handle them, and then giving them to him and allowing him to do that very thing, to handle them. Dick Mills is one of my favorite Christian authors. He said, inner peace is the one quality that can hold us together when everything in the world about us is falling apart. Inner peace, that's the only thing that can hold us together. Now, there's a well-known story in Mark chapter 4. Everybody, if you've been around for a while, I'm sure you've read this story, maybe heard a sermon on it. It's about Jesus and his disciples when they were on the Sea of Galilee and a storm came. Well-known story. Mark chapter 4, Jesus had just finished a long day of ministry. He was tired. He wanted to have some solitude. He kind of wanted to get away from the crowd. And so he said to his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And they did that. They got in the boat. They started going to the other side. And guess what? When they started, I mean, everything was peaceful. It was calm. I mean, this looked like just a nice little boat trip across the lake. They call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's actually a lake. Nice little boat trip across the lake. We're just going to enjoy the scenery. And they row, and they're enjoying. They're probably having some good conversation. Jesus is tired. He's asleep in the stern of the boat. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. In just a moment. And this can happen on the Sea of Galilee. The winds come down from the mountaintops, the mountains just surround that Sea of Galilee, and the winds can suddenly, just without notice, come down and begin to blow a tempest, and the waves can begin to stir up, and that was the case in this situation. I want to read a little bit of this story to you. Mark 4:35 says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" That's a key verse. I want you to remember that. "Let us go over to the other side." "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." So listen, the wind is howling. The waves are beating against the boat. They're coming over the side of the boat, filling up the boat. It's getting to the point where it looks like it might be swamped. They're fearing for their life. And all the time, Jesus is in the stern sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, no longer at the waves, but they were terrified at this awesome man. They were terrified, and they said to one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." How many know that life can be just like that? Things are going well. Kids are behaving. Finances are coming in, marriage is doing okay, bills are paid, life is good. But how many know that in a moment, things can change? In a moment, everything can change. In one moment, your head can be where your feet were just a few minutes before. You know what I'm talking about? You're flat on the ground. Storm clouds can appear overhead. The winds of adversity begin to blow against your boat. And suddenly your peace has been replaced by this inner tempest of anxiety and turmoil. A storm, in my definition, is any circumstance that threatens to rob you of your peace and your joy. And that could be a marriage problem. That could be a financial crisis. That could be a health crisis. It could be your kids are suddenly running wild. Anything that robs you of your peace and joy. And I know many times when that happens, our very first prayer is, "God, take it away." We're a lot like Paul when he was dealing with some kind of a storm, some kind of a crisis in his life, a thorn in the flesh, whatever that was. And his first prayer was, "God, take it away." What was God's response? No, he said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Somebody once said, God sometimes speaks peace to the storm, and other times, he speaks peace to the child in the storm. He doesn't always immediately take our circumstances away and change them. Sometimes, he wants to teach us how to walk in peace even through the storm, even in the midst of the storm. He wants to teach us how to trust him even when the circumstances aren't going our way. Anybody can trust God when everything's going your way, when the bills are paid and your wife respects you and, you know, your boss is giving you a raise. I mean, hallelujah, anybody can trust God, but it's when things are going downhill, it's when life seems to be caving in, that's when our faith is trusted, that's when our trust is put to the test, amen? I want to give you three quick truths from this story. Number one, Jesus has given you his word that he is going to get you through your storm. He's given you his word. He's going to get you through the storm. Jesus said these very, very important words when he told his disciples, get in the boat. What did he say? Let us go over, where? To the other side. He did not say, let's go out in the middle of the lake and drown in the storm. Somehow they forgot what Jesus had said. Somehow they had forgotten the words of Jesus when he prophetically spoke to them and said, we're going to get in the boat and we're going to go to the other side. How many know when Jesus says we're going to the other side? The destination is the other side. That's where we're going to go. And Jesus has told you the same thing no matter what storm you're in. We're going to the other side. There's the other side of this storm, the circumstance that you are in right now. I know it seems like a dark valley, but listen to what the psalmist said. In Psalms 23, verse 4, this famous psalm, he said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The key word there, one of the key words, is the word through. He didn't say we're going to get stuck in the valley. He didn't say we're going to camp in the valley. He didn't call us to be valley dwellers. How many are valley dwellers here? You know any valley dwellers? I mean, it just seems like perpetually they're in the valley. It's just one negative thing after the other, and that's all they can see. But God never called us to be valley dwellers. He said, we're going to go through the valley. We're not going to stay there. The valley is a temporary condition. And listen, these are important words. This too will pass. Tell your neighbor right now, whatever storm you're in, this too will pass. Go ahead and tell them. This too will pass. He's given us that promise. We're going to the other side. No matter what we're going through, he is going to get us through. And he's given us so many promises in the Word of God that will sustain our faith if we just get into the Word of God and put our minds there. So often our minds are fixed upon the problem, fixed upon the circumstance. But, you know, scriptures, I think it's Isaiah 23:3. He said, perfect peace are those whose minds are fixed or stayed upon you. That word stayed means to lean upon. It means to, it's something that supports. This Bible right here is stayed upon this pulpit. It's leaning upon it. It is supported by the pulpit. And in the same way, the scripture says that perfect peace, that actually in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. Perfect peace of those whose minds are stayed upon him. And upon his promises. We got a choice when we go through a storm. We're going to look at the storm or we're going to look at Jesus. We're going to fix our gaze upon the problems or we're going to fix our gaze upon the word of God. Hallelujah. Problems or promises? That's the choice that we, through every storm, problems or promises? What are you going to fix your eyes upon? The psalmist wanted to say, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Again, there's a choice. Am I going to fix my eyes on the enemies or am I going to fix my eyes on the table and all the good things that God's put on the table for me? Here's one of those promises that we can fix our eyes on, Isaiah 41:10, one of my favorite, I would call it one of my life verses. Fear not, for I am with you. According to some theologians, that phrase or something very similar to it, fear not, appears 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. And I think sometimes we need one for every day of the year. Fear not, for I am with you. This is God speaking to us. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Shortly after the Dallas Theological Seminary was founded in 1924, and that's one of the most famous theological seminaries that's in existence today. Very, very well known and well attended seminary. It was founded in 1924, but shortly afterward, it almost folded. It nearly came to the point of bankruptcy, and all the creditors were ready to foreclose about noon. On a particular day, they'd already told the leaders of the college, the seminary, that, hey, they were going to close this, they were going to foreclose, and we're coming after all of your assets. And so that morning, the founders of the school, they met in the president's office, and they began to pray. How many know that when you're going through a dark valley, that's probably the most important thing you can do is pray. Pray first. So many people, they try everything else, and then they say, well, I guess we'll pray. Has it come to that? No, pray first. Let that be your first course of action. Amen? So they gathered to pray. And in that prayer meeting was one of the professors. His name was Dr. Harry Ironside, man of faith. And when it's his turn to pray, he prayed this simple, simple prayer. He actually quoted one of the scriptures in the Bible about God owning the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he prayed this prayer, Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. Please sell some of them and send us the money. Well, just about that time, while they were in the prayer meeting, there was a tall Texan in boots and an open collar shirt strolled into the business office. He said, howdy to the secretary. He said, I just sold 2 carloads of cattle over in Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, and it just won't work. I feel God wants me to give you this money of the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check. And he handed it over. Well, the secretary, knowing the criticalness of the hour, she went and gently tapped on the door of the room where the officials were meeting. And the president of the seminary came out, Dr. Lewis Schaefer, founder and president of the school. He answered the door. He took the check from her. And when he looked at the amount, it was for the exact amount of the debt. And when he recognized the name on the check, he recognized that it was a cattleman, very well-known cattleman in the local area. And turning to Dr. Ironside, he said, Harry, God heard your prayer, and he sold the cattle. How many know when God's upholding you, there's nothing that's going to put you under? Amen? Tell your neighbor, I'm not going under, I'm going over. Here's the second point. Jesus has already defeated every adversary that's stirring up your storm. How many know we got an enemy of our soul? John 10:10 makes it very clear what the job description of the enemy is. He says he comes, he's a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What is he trying to steal? Well, he'll steal your peace, he'll steal your joy, he'll steal your health, he'll steal your marriage, he'll steal your kids, he'll steal everything he can get his hands on because he is a thief. Now, I understand not every storm that comes through our life is the enemy. You know, Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. And, you know, our theme might be everything that comes my way, the devil's behind it. But listen, not every storm that we are involved in is directly influenced by the enemy. Some of our storms are man-made. Am I talking to anybody here today? Some of our storms are man-made. And if that's the case, then we need to do whatever we need to do to clean up the mess. You know, we made decisions to get in that storm, and we're going to have to make decisions one by one to walk ourselves out of that storm and get ourselves back into a better place. If your marriage is a mess because you haven't been loving your spouse well, if your marriage is a mess because you haven't understood that your wife has emotional needs and you need to meet them, or you've been selfish, or you go home and you just grab the remote and sit on the couch all night and expect your spouse to serve you, well, you're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to learn how to prioritize your spouse. You're going to have to learn that your spouse has a love language. Your spouse has emotional needs. And that is your job as husband and wife, to the best of your ability, to meet those needs. Die to your selfishness in order to meet your needs. Am I talking to anybody today? I'm meddling now. Well, I'm gonna meddle just a little bit more, and then I'll get back to preaching. I've stopped preaching and gone to meddling. Oh. If your finances are a mess because you are overspending and under budgeting, God is not going to immediately yank you out of that mess and make everything all better. I mean, you're going to have to learn how to budget. That's a nasty word to some people, but you're going to have to learn how to do it. You're going to have to understand the difference between needs and wants. And come on, there is a difference. There's a line right down the middle. Needs on this side, wants on this side. We got to understand what the difference is. And when you're short on cash, then you got to focus on the needs. And hopefully, you know, at some point, God will prosper you, and he wants to prosper you so you can enjoy some of the wants as well. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to enjoy the good things of life. But there's times, just like the Apostle Paul, he said, there's times in my life where I abound, and then there's times when I abase. There's times when I've got abundance, and there's times when seems like I'm just barely getting along. And when you're barely getting along, you got to do away with the wants and focus on the needs. Talking to anybody today? I'm still meddling. The other thing, you got to make sure that you're giving God the first fruits so you can get his blessing. Man, I wouldn't want to try to do life without the blessing of God. I would not want to try to do life living under a closed heaven. And when I make sure that I give God the first that belongs to him, by the way, you don't give anything to God. You return what rightfully belongs to him. Hello? That's what he said in Malachi 3. Return to me what belongs to me. And you're under a curse because you're keeping my portion. And when we return what rightfully belongs to God, God says, I'm going to open up the financial windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. I'm going to rebuke the devourer that's stealing your finances in the first place. That's a good bargain right there. If your body is sick, I'm going to meddle some more because you've been living on fast food and junk food for the last 20 years. You're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to trade that Big Mac in for a salad and salmon. Come on. Maybe start an exercise program. You know, it's amazing, and doctors have proven this, what a good diet and some exercise on a regular basis will do for you. You can actually cure a lot of the diseases that you're dealing with by eating good food. What's that scripture? It just came to my mind, Psalms 103. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name. Forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of our sins, heals our diseases, redeems our life from the pit, crowns it with love and compassion. And listen, he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies our mouth with good things. If you eat the good things, guess what? Your youth can be renewed like the eagles. What is it? I don't remember my biology, but I think your cells renew every 7 years, and maybe your body's in bad shape right now, but you can change things around. It won't happen overnight. But consistently, a good diet and good exercise, you don't have to kill yourself. You don't even have to get a gym membership. That's okay if you do, but just a 20-minute walk 3 days a week. Can you do that? If you can't walk, get an exercise bicycle. If you can't do that, swim. If you can't do that, trying to think what you can do. I know you can do any, you can do one of those things. I know that. If you can't do that, sit on the couch and do leg raisers, you know, for about 20 minutes. Get your heart rate going. All right, I'm going to go back to preaching. I'm done meddling. There are other storms. Those are man-made storms, but there are other storms that the enemy gets involved with, and he messes with your life, my life. Man, he'll steal everything. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's diabolical. He hates you. He hates me. He hates our kids. Hates God and anything to do with Christianity in our life, and he wants to steal it all. The good news is Jesus is bigger than any assignment of hell against your life. 2,000 years ago, Jesus soundly defeated the enemy, Satan, and all of his demons on the cross when he died and was resurrected 3 days later. I love the scripture in Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, talking about Satan and his demons, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He made a public spectacle of them. You know, in the Bible days, when a king defeated another king, he would parade that defeated king and all the soldiers and warriors that were left, that were not killed, he would parade them through his hometown, bound, shackled, and to make a public spectacle of them, to shame them, to humiliate them, and to rejoice in the victory that they had won. That's the picture that Paul gives us here. That's exactly what Jesus did. He made a public spectacle of the devil. He humiliated him. He utterly and 100% defeated him and conquered him, brought him to complete shame and humiliation when he rose from the grave with the keys of hell and death in hand. Hallelujah. And we can take confidence today in the fact that Jesus has defeated the enemy behind every storm in our life. You're on the winning side. Tell somebody you are on the winning side. If you're a Christ follower, that is. Here's the third point. Jesus is with you in the storm. He's with you in the storm. You know, Jesus could have sent his disciples ahead and he could have just transported himself over to the other side in a second. But he didn't. Why? He wanted to be with them in the storm. And you have absolute guarantee from the scriptures that no matter what you go through, and I know some of you, I know I'm looking at you right now, I know some of the things you've gone through, some of the things you're going through right now, but the guarantee from the scripture and from Jesus himself that he is absolutely going to be with you 100% of the time, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, every minute of the day. Jesus is with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Jesus is with you in the middle of the storm. Now, Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have storms. I mean, wouldn't that be nice? We give our heart to Jesus, and it's just smooth sailing all the way to heaven. But he never promised that. Jesus in John 16:33, he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That's God's goal. That's Jesus' will for you, peace. But he said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I've defeated the world. That word trouble, some translations have the word tribulation. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. That even sounds mean, doesn't it? I mean, that even sounds rough. You're going to be tribulated in this life. You're going to have trouble in this life. And the word actually means pressure, squeezing, stress, crushing, adversity, and distress. It's the word that's used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. Isn't that comforting? Aren't you glad you came to hear that good news today, that in this world, you're going to be crushed? In this life, you're going to be distressed. You're going to experience pressure and tribulation. Well, I'm just glad Jesus didn't end there. He said, take heart, I have overcome the world. In Psalms 91:15, listen what he said. I'm going to be with him in trouble. I like to put my name there. I like to put my name right in there. He said, I will be with David in trouble. You can put your name in there too. I'm going to go ahead and let you put your name there. You don't have to put my name. But I'm going to put my name there. He says, I will be with him in trouble. He went on to say, I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, in Daniel chapter 3, there were three Hebrew God worshipers that were thrown into a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship at the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. And so he got so mad at him, he had the furnace heated up 7 times hotter. You know, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had this furnace heated up 7 times hotter than normal. He had them thrown in their clothes, their turbans, their hands were bound with ropes, and they threw them in. The guys that threw them in, the furnace was so hot that it killed them. And the king thought that would be the end of it. But he looked down in the furnace and he saw something that shocked him. I'm going to read it to you. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar, this is Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement. And he asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? And he said, certainly, your majesty. And he said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the Son of God, Son of the gods. Hallelujah. In the middle of the fire, Jesus showed up. He was with them in their storm. He was with them in their fire. And King Nebuchadnezzar called them out. He said, come out. And this is what they observed. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. Not a single hair on their head was singed. Their robes were not scorched. And there was no smell of fire on them. The only thing that burned was the ropes that bound them. I want to tell you, wouldn't it be nice if we could avoid all the fire? We can't. Wouldn't it be nice if we could avoid every storm? We can't. But the guarantee that we have is when we go through the fire, and we go through the water, and we go through the storms, Jesus is going to be with us. And my firm belief after serving the Lord for some 45 years is when you walk through the fire, you get to the other side, the only thing that's going to be burned are the things that bound you before you went in. Sometimes we got to go through the fire just to burn the junk out of our life. The Bible calls it the refiner's fire. That burns until the garbage comes up to the surface. Come on, I'm looking at some really nice looking people today, but if you're like me, you got a little bit of garbage on the inside. I'm talking about your heart, talking about your soul. There's some stuff in there that we don't like to look at. There's some stuff in there that we don't like to admit, but every once in a while somebody will bump us the wrong way, and all of a sudden it just comes out. Where did that come from? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I hate that, don't you? I just hate it when my junk comes out. Man, I want to be mature. I want to have it all together. I want to, you know, everything I say is just like Jesus, the words of Jesus. I find out quite often, I'm just human though. And I've got a lot of baggage that still needs to be, hey, God's done a lot, but there's still some baggage that he's dealing with. And so every once in a while, I got to walk through the fire so that stuff can come up. And I have to humble myself. It's humbling. I got to humble myself. Jesus, I don't like that. That's ugly. That's dark. I wish it wasn't there. But I just want to repent. I just want to admit right now it's there. I confess it. I agree with it. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to blame somebody else for it. I'm going to take responsibility for my junk and my stuff. And I'm going to bring my heart to you and say, God, burn it out, whatever it takes. Light it on fire. So that when I come through the fire, I'm shining like pure gold. And the only thing that people are going to see is a reflection of Jesus in my heart and in my life. Hallelujah. I really don't have much to offer. The only thing I have to offer is the reflection of Jesus shining through me. The power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working its way through me. Hallelujah. We're talking about Jesus being with us in the storm. And I know Jesus has departed. He's no longer with us in person, but I got some good news. He's actually sent one with a capital O that's just like him to be with us forever. His name is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this in John 16:7. He said, very truly I tell you, it is for your good. He's telling his disciples this, telling us. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I want to read this in the Amplified. He said, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, listen, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. This scripture reveals the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again today, how many born again people do we have? If you're born again today, the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you. And there's seven major ministries that the Holy Spirit wants to bring into your life. And this scripture brings them out. It says he wants to be your helper. What's he want to help you with? Anything you need help with. If you need help with your marriage, your finances, your health, whatever it is, being more spiritual, drawing closer to God. The Holy Spirit wants to help you in that area. Wherever you need help. He's also your comforter. How many need comfort? I'm not talking about a blanket that's thrown over your bed. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes we go through things and the only thing we need is a little bit of comfort. And sometimes no human being can comfort us the way the Holy Spirit can comfort us. He can get down on the deep on the inside where we are really hurting, where our heart is aching. It seems like we're breaking on the inside. What can we do? Man, we can call out to the comforter. Hallelujah. He can come and comfort that your heart, your broken heart. He's our advocate. That means he's our defense attorney. When the enemy, the accuser, comes against us to accuse us, he's the accuser of the brethren. We have one that's going to stand up in our defense, the advocate, our defense attorney. Hallelujah. And then he's our intercessor. Guess what? He's praying for you right now. He's praying for you every day. He's interceding for you. He knows what you're going through. And he's praying, God, get him through. Father, get him through this. Let the faith rise up within him. Hallelujah. Help him to focus on the word and the promises. Get him through. Hallelujah. He's our counselor. You ever need counsel? You're going through a difficult situation. You don't know what to do. Decisions that need to be made and you don't know what decision to make. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's with you to give you supernatural counsel to help you make the best decision possible. He's your strengthener. There's times we go through life, it just seems like all the strength is sapped, is just zapped out of us. You ever been there before? You're like a lemon that has been squeezed, and all the juice is gone, and you're just like this empty rind that's laying there. Maybe that doesn't apply to anybody. I've been there. I've been there where I the only thing I could do during my prayer time is lay flat on my face and cry out for God's mercy. God, I have nothing left. I have nothing left. And somehow, in the process of simply waiting on God, Isaiah 40 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I mean, when we come to the end of ourself, that doesn't mean the end of everything. It just means the end of us. It means the end of my strength. That same chapter says, even youth grow weary and stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew literally means exchange. Where we give God our weakness and we get his strength in place of that. How many think that's a good deal? That's a good bargain. And I've experienced that where God has breathed his strength and life. It wasn't such a physical depletion as it was a spiritual and emotional depletion. And somehow God infused his strength into my inner being, and I got up feeling like a different person. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to carry out God's purpose. He's our strengthener, and then he's our standby. That means he's always there. He's standing by, ready to help in any and every situation. How much time do I got? I'm telling you this story. I might end on this, or I might not. I've got some more. I'll see how it goes, but I just want to end on this story, and I know I've told this story several times, and so you old-timers, you got to listen to it, but I just tell it for the new ones, and it just seems to apply. It just came to my mind again as I was preparing for this message, but when I was in middle school, I think it was seventh grade, there was a kid in my class. His name was Leland. I think he had hair on his face in seventh grade. I think he had flunked seventh grade about four times. Looked that way anyway. I mean, he was big. He was bigger than everybody else. He was strong. And he was mean. And he was a bully. And bullies, of course, like to pick on people that are weaker and smaller than them. And back then in seventh grade, I was actually thin. I know I have filled out and become very muscular now. But just try to imagine back in seventh grade, I was actually thin. I was a lot smaller. He outweighed me by many, many pounds. And so he decided that for whatever reason, I was going to be his next victim. And I lived about six blocks from the middle school at that time. And he knew that. And so every day after school, he would hide. It was a different place every day. He would hide behind a tree, hide behind a building, hide behind a house or a bush. And I'd be walking along. All of a sudden, he'd jump out and pound me. Pound me, just pound me. And this went on day after day after day. I don't know, for several weeks it seemed like. And I mean, I was miserable. I was scared to go home. I was looking around every bush. I was paranoid. I was traumatized by this big bully named Leland. And then one day, I was in PE class, and Leland was in my PE class. Ugh. And how many heard this? Heard me tell this story. I'm just curious. Okay. There's a lot to happen. Well, I'm glad I'm telling it. Anyway, I was in PE class, and Leland came up and just blindsided me. I mean, he just hit me on the side of the head, knocked me to the gym floor. I was just laying there thinking, oh my gosh, when is this ever going to end? Next thing I know, I heard a thump, and I look over, and it's Leland. He's laying on the floor. I think, what? And I look up, and there's a guy named Lloyd Commander who's standing over him, and he's saying these words, Leland, leave clear alone. Lloyd Commander was a Native American, still is, actually, he hasn't changed. I thought about that when I said that. He is a Native American, and he was probably as big as Leland and probably a little meaner at that time. He's actually since become born again, hallelujah. I actually went to Bible college and became a pastor. But back then, yeah, wasn't quite sanctified. And somehow, I don't know why, I never had a relationship with Lloyd Commander at all. I don't know if I ever even said a word to him. But I think he must have observed this over some time. And there was something in him that didn't like somebody picking on the underdog. And he decided he was going to do something about it. And so he came up, just wailed, just knocked the bejeebers out of Leland. And I think his head was spinning. I think he was seeing stars. Leave clear alone. And you know, from that day on, I went all the way through high school, or middle school, and all the way through high school. Leland never bothered me again. You know why? Because he knew Lloyd Commander was with me. He knew Lloyd Commander was on my side. Well, I'm thankful for that, but I'm even more thankful that today I've got somebody even greater than Lloyd Commander. His name is the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. He is the advocate. He is the intercessor. He is the strengthener. He is the standby. Yeah. Hallelujah. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. I don't know what kind of storm you're going through today, but I want to encourage you, the greater one is on the inside, and he's going to get you through. God is not only with you, he's for you. Romans 8 said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He's with you, he's for you, and he is in you. What's he in there for? He's in there to put you over in life, make you a success, make you an overcomer. Greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I started to preach myself happy there toward the end. Praise God. I got four action steps to teach you how to walk in that peace, but maybe we'll do that another time. But, you know, I want to pray for some folks. It was just on my heart that there might be some folks that are going through a storm here today. In a crowd this size, I imagine there's a handful anyway. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I just feel led that if you're one of those, you're going through a storm. In fact, hey, can I just have the whole worship team come up? And you know that song, This Is How We Do Battle, whatever that name of that song is. This is how we do our battle. I just feel like there's some folks that have lost your peace. You're in the storm. You don't know how things are going to turn out. Everything looks black. The enemy just keeps hammering on you. You know, you're going to stay stuck here. Nothing's going to work out. Nothing's going to change. Your circumstance is not going to change. It's a lie from hell. It's a lie from hell. But I just feel like there's some folks that I want to lay hands and I want us to pray as a corporate body. I could dismiss you now and just pray for them, but sometimes we need to agree together as a body. And pray for one another when we're going through a storm. Because if it's not you this week, it might be you next week. It seems like we're either going into a storm, in the middle of the storm, or coming out of a storm. And occasionally we have some reprieve there. But if that's you, I want you to just come up. We're going to pray for you as a church body, as a church family. Ask God to restore your peace. I wish I could pray and all the circumstances would change, but What I can guarantee is that there's peace available to you. That no matter what's going on, you can walk through that in peace. I'm telling you, that's more valuable than anything. I'd trade just about anything for peace. Don't give me the American dream if you know, and all the prosperity in the world if I can't have peace. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Can we get some folks to come up, our prayer team to come up and get behind these folks and pray with them? And hallelujah. Would you stretch forth your hand, if you would? We're going to pray for peace. I don't know what needs to happen in your circumstances. Part of your storm might be made, man-made. There might be some changes, decisions you need to make to walk out of that. God will show you that, but we're just going to go through and just pray for God's peace in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, give him peace today in the middle of the storm. We bind every assignment of hell against him. We cancel that. And we pray the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard his heart and guard his mind. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to pray there. Hallelujah. I want you to do one thing before we get going. Whatever it is that's causing that storm in your life, whatever circumstance, would you do something right now? Give it to Jesus. Philippians 4 said, pray about everything. Don't be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will guard your heart. You got to give it to God. Now, if you pray and you don't give it to God, you carry that worry away, you haven't prayed, you've complained. But real prayer is giving that burden to God once and for all, walking away and trusting that he's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
I want you to do that before we even get into this. And there's folks out here, you need to do the same thing. You haven't come up here, but you need to give that care, that worry, that burden to God. It might be a child. Some of you are dealing with children that are not walking with God, and it's tearing your heart out. It's a burden, it's a weight. Give them to God today. Give them to God. If it's a health situation, give it to God. Marriage situation, give it to God. Cast the whole burden at his feet. Just say right now, whatever that thing is, you call it by name. God, I give it to you now in Jesus' name. I turn it over to you. I'm going to trust you. I can't fix it, but I know you can. I can't fix it. I can't change it, but I know you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we give every burden and care to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give her peace now. Give her peace. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Prince of Peace. Breathe peace into her mind and her soul in Jesus' name. Increase your presence upon her. Hallelujah. Lord, give him peace now. Give him peace in the inner being. Give him peace. Hallelujah. I just speak peace to the storm. In the name of Jesus, in the authority that you've given me, I speak peace to his storm right now. In Jesus' name. I declare no weapon formed against him will prosper. And every tongue that would rise to accuse him, God will condemn. This is the heritage of the saints. Hallelujah. We receive it now. Let peace come. Continue to pray with me for these folks. Hallelujah. Let peace come in the middle of the storm. In the middle of the storm, there is peace. Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reveal yourself, oh God, to her. Reveal yourself to her as her helper, her advocate, her intercessor, her standby, her counselor, her strengthener, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Pour out your spirit. We just say more, Lord. More, more, more of you. We open our heart. Come and fill. Come and overflow. Come and overflow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I just pray, give him peace. Give him wisdom. Give him direction. Lord, to walk out of this storm, to walk out of the dark valley that he finds himself in, there is an answer. There is a solution. There is direction. There is a pathway. And Father, I pray that you would direct him. Let him hear the words behind him saying, this is the way, son. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. In Jesus' name. Give him peace now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. More peace, Father. More of your spirit, more of your presence. God, we just cast every burden over to you right now in Jesus' name. Just give it to him. Just give it to him. Lay it at his feet. Give it to him. He's inviting you to cast every care. And at the same time, he's going to watch over you. He's going to care for you. His burden is easy. His care is light. Hallelujah. His yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Give it all to him and receive his peace today. Receive his peace today. Receive his peace today in Jesus' name. Peace is your portion. Hallelujah. Give him peace this morning. Give him that peace that surpasses all understanding. Let it guard their heart. Let it guard their mind. We cast all the care over to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us in the boat. You're with us in the storm. You're the greater one in us. Hallelujah. We're going to trust you. Our eyes are fixed upon you, Lord. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Bless her with that peace today. Pour it out. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let peace rise up. Let joy rise up. Hallelujah. Live big in her, oh God. You're the greater one in her. See her over the problems, through your, see her through the storm. In Jesus' name. Thank you for peace, Lord, today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that song. Hallelujah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.